Welcome to the Middletown United Methodist Church podcast, the perfect way to catch up on previous Sunday sermons.
Well, good morning. Can I just say that Tammy and I are excited and thrilled to be here at Middletown. Thank you for the warm greetings, for the prayers that you have offered for us. A special thanks to the staff. And if you all don't know it yet, you have a marvelous staff here at Middletown. Absolutely. This is an unusual beginning for me. I've never been appointed to a church where I knew as many people as I know at Middletown already. I've never been appointed to a church where I already knew the staff. I've never been appointed to a church where I've lived in the community already for 10 years. So it's a little bit unusual, but it also makes this transition a little bit more comfortable. Let me take just a moment and introduce my family to you. My wife, Tamala, it's T-A-M-A-L-A, but her mother was the only one that called her that. Everybody else in the world calls her Tammy. So that's what we will call her. And unfortunately, she's not here this morning. And for those of you who are grandparents, many of you will understand this. We got the call. You know that call? What are you doing this weekend? And so she is at home with a one-year-old trying to get her ready to go and to hopefully make it by 11. We're a little bit out of practice on that kind of thing. But Tammy is a music educator by profession. She teaches choral music and piano at Lincoln Performing Arts School. Our oldest son, Kyle, is 31, and he lives in northern Kentucky. Our youngest son is Caleb, and Caleb just finished his junior year at Morehead State University. And we have two grandchildren, Ryder, who is 8, and Anastasia, who will be a year old on July the 6th. Tammy and I are both from Metcalf County, which is about halfway between Bowling Green and Somerset, down in south central Kentucky, one county removed from the Tennessee border. We were high school sweethearts, and we've been married for 39 years. We were just kids when we married. Tammy holds a bachelor's and a master's from Western Kentucky University in music education. I have a double major in psychology and religious studies from Western and a master of divinity from Vanderbilt University. I began my pastoral ministry in 1984. I was appointed to three small rural churches down in Allen County, right on the Tennessee border. I was there for 6 years. From there, I moved to be the associate pastor at State Street in Bowling Green. I was there for 3 years. In 1993, I moved to Epiphany, a church here in Louisville in the South End. I was there for 5 years. From there to Florence, up in northern Kentucky, for 11. From Florence in 2009, I moved back to Louisville to St. Paul in the Highlands. And then for the last 2 years, I've been the district superintendent here in the Heartland District. And so that's what gets me here to you today. For most of my life, practically all of my life up until the last couple of months, I had kind of thought of myself as an introvert. But it didn't seem to completely describe who I was. And then I learned a new word a couple of months ago, ambivert. I'd never heard that word before. But what it is, it's a personality that is intermediate between an extrovert and an introvert. I love engaging in conversation, but at the same time, when I'm with people all day long, I need a little time to recharge at night. Being an ambivert, I'm enough of an extrovert that I highly value relationship and conversation, but I'm also enough of an introvert that if those other introverts of you in the congregation, if you want to come by my office, we can just sit there all day and never say a word, and and neither one of us will be uncomfortable. So that invitation is extended to you. But I'm also told that sometimes my introvert side makes me come across as being arrogant, and I think I'm anything but arrogant. So please look beyond that and chalk it up to the introvert side of me. Back in February, when Tom announced his retirement, you all were thrust into a transition that you did not ask for and that you had not anticipated. At the same time, I was thrust into the same transition that I had not anticipated. And so we have all been living into this transition over the last few weeks. And today we enter into a new phase of that transition. It wasn't quite real until today. Tom is somewhere today with Kathy, sitting with her in worship and enjoying themselves. I'm here today. John's trying to figure out what he's supposed to do tomorrow when he goes into the office. None of us are quite as comfortable and relaxed this week as we have been the last few weeks. Today, we are changing the familiar for the unfamiliar, and it begins in earnest today. You knew what you had with Tom, and you were comfortable with that. With Tom, you had a quality leader, someone who loved you dearly. And you've exchanged that familiarity of Tom with the unfamiliarity of me, and you don't know what you've got in me yet. Only time will tell. You all have done a great work for the kingdom of God in this place. And you've done that under Tom's leadership these last few years. You've just finished a wonderful renovation project, and I regret that Tom had to go through all of the difficulties of getting that finished and then doesn't get to enjoy it. My leadership style is quite different than Tom's, so be patient with me. I pray that we can continue to do great things for the kingdom, though. And although my leadership style is different, I can promise you I will love you dearly. As we live into this phase of transition, it'll be challenging at times. Transitions are about loss and gain, saying goodbye and hello, of releasing the old and receiving the new. Transitions are most usually difficult for us because transition is all about change. And most of us, we don't care for change too much. Transition is a time of letting go of what is known and often comfortable and moving toward the not yet known. The letting go part of transition involves loss, and loss always leads to grief. We experience grief when we lose anything in our lives. Just think about the transitions that you have gone through in your life when you've moved to a new town or just across town. When you started school, when you got married, when you retired. In every transition, there is loss and grief. Even when the transition leads to something absolutely wonderful, like a spouse or a new baby or a new home. Part of transition is also saying goodbye. Most of us don't like to say goodbye because we think if we can avoid that, then we can avoid the pain of grief. But we really don't. Tammy and I have often said when it come time for us to move, we'd like to just slip away in the middle of the night. But that's really not the way to do it. You all know the pain of grief. You've lost your good friend and pastor, Tom, as he's moved on to retirement. If you didn't get a chance to properly say goodbye to him, Tom and Kathy are still here in town, so take them out to dinner sometime. Make sure you have that opportunity to say goodbye. There is this really strange mix of emotions during a time of transition. On the one hand, you've got loss and grief and change and fear. But on the other side, you've got excitement and anticipation. Ask most UK basketball fan. They go through this every year. Transitions begin with new beginnings, and new beginnings are always pregnant with possibilities. New pastoral leadership brings different ideas and a renewed energy for ministry, a new attentiveness. You all are paying a little closer attention this morning than you did last week. New leadership can turn unfamiliarity into excitement. The scripture text this morning from John that Trent read is from the Easter season. Easter is all about transition and excitement and possibility. The scripture reading today is a continuation of the resurrection story. The disciples had been traveling with Jesus throughout Judea and Samaria and Galilee, enjoying the goodwill of the people as Jesus taught and healed and fed the multitudes and did other miracles. And then everything changed. The goodwill of the people turned into shouts of "Crucify him." And now the disciples are locked in a house, fearing for their lives. The disciples were thrust into a transition. But then everything changed again when the resurrected Jesus appeared in the room with them. But it wouldn't be the same as before. The disciples had to release the old and embrace the new. Their lives were in a little bit of chaos and uncertainty because they knew what life was like when Jesus was an itinerant rabbi. They're not quite sure what life is going to be like with him as the resurrected Christ. But in the midst of their chaos and uncertainty, the first thing that Jesus does is to speak a word of peace to them. And then he gives them the power of the Holy Spirit to empower them to face the fears and the challenges that would lie before them. But with the peace and the power, these disciples then led a movement that would change the world and continues to change the world. The disciples exchanged familiar with the unfamiliar. And then one of the greatest promises of scriptures is it's found in that last verse of Psalm 121 that was read. God promises to be with us in all of our going outs and coming ins. I understand that to mean that he's with us in all those transition times of our life when we go out of one part of our life and into the next. And so as we exchange the familiar for the unfamiliar, certainty for uncertainty, comfort for the unknown, God is with us in all of our going outs and coming ins. And he will give us peace and he will give us power in the midst of the chaos to live our lives and continue to lead a movement. Today, we both exchange the familiar for the unfamiliar. And as we do so, life is not as certain and as comfortable as it has been in the last few days. But if we will trust in the promises of God, he will bring us peace in the midst of the chaos. He will give us power in our weakness. And then together we'll be able to do great things for the kingdom of God. I ask that you be patient with me as I learn my way around the ministries of the church. Be patient with me as I learn names. Do me a favor, if you have a name tag, wear it. If you don't wear your name tag, tell me your name for the next, ever till I get it. Remember how long that takes. You know, you all have the advantage. You only have two names and faces to learn. I've got hundreds. So be patient with me. I really do want to develop relationships with you. I really do want to know you and know your story. And until today, your story and my story were separate stories. But today, they began to be woven together into one story. And so as we write this next chapter together, I want to earn your trust. I ask for your forgiveness in advance for those times that I fail. And if I don't fail occasionally, then I'm not pushing the boundaries hard enough. I want you to know that the door to my office is always open. Usually literally, and if not literally, figuratively. One of the things, as I've said before, that I highly value is conversation. And with a congregation this size, there will be someone who disagrees with everything I say or do. And when that happens, I want you to be able to come and talk with me. I will respect your position. I may not agree with you, but I will always respect your position and your convictions. I simply ask that I receive the same in return. We live in a world that doesn't do that very well these days. Most people who disagree can't seem to have a civil conversation anymore. I'd like for us as the church to teach the world how to do that again. I expect you to hold strong convictions, and so will I. But I'll always listen to you. I want to know you and to know your story. Again, I am glad to be your pastor. I'm glad to be back with a community of people that I will see every week. John will learn that one of the most difficult parts about being a district superintendent is that you don't have this kind of community around you. And I've really missed that in the last 2 years. And so I look forward to seeing you all every week and being able to build those relationships together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like to stay connected to Middletown UMC in other ways, you can visit our website, our Facebook page, or download our church app. If you would like to show support to the church and the ministries that help so many, you can use our online giving feature on the website or app. Have a blessed day.